All right, good morning. How are we doing? I feel like we're going to tilt the ship this way. I feel some disequilibrium I'm feeling right now. Well, hey, I am so glad you're all here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And the title of today's sermon is, seriously, another sermon on church membership. Which at this point, some of you, your eyes start to glaze over, and you've automatically gone to, what am I going to do this Sunday afternoon? You've started planning your Sunday already. You've already tuned me out. And what makes it even worse is the fact that there's no football on today. So now you're really lost about what to do and what to think about in the next 30 minutes. Or anyone else? Like, you're right there. See, I totally get it. For me, church membership it's not one of those sexy things that you like to talk about. It's one of those things that, you know, for many of you, you're thinking, couldn't we just move on from church membership a little bit? It seems so formal and so ritualistic and so archaic, and Awaken is anything but that. That's why we go to this church. Why would we ever revert back to the dark ages and talk about church membership? Yeah, I'm totally right there with you. And so if that's you this morning, well, hey, this sermon is for you. And my goal this morning is to sell you on church membership. And what I hope to do, my prayer, is that I would show you a new way in which to understand what church membership looks like. And hopefully you'll see it from a different perspective, and that we don't do it from many of the ways in which you have heard it talked about before and the ways in which it's performed. So we'll begin in Romans chapter 12. A little background on the book of Romans. Romans is a book written by the Apostle Paul. And what Paul is doing is he is writing to multiple churches in the city of Rome. Rome was a big metropolis. Think New York City. And in Rome, there's multiple churches. These are not your stadium seating, megachurch lights flashing type of churches. The churches that Paul's writing to are very small house churches. Churches that are meeting in people's homes. People from the neighborhood are getting together. They're sharing meals together. They're living life together, having conversations, praying for each other. These are the types of communities that Paul is writing to when he writes the book of Romans. And what he's doing in the book of Romans, he's essentially painting a picture for them. What does it look like to be a church? What does it look like to be together a community of people who are following Jesus? And what he hopes to do in the book of Romans is give some practical, tangible, real-life examples of what being a church looks like. How do we organize ourselves as a community? What does it mean? How do we actually live this out on the daily and in the weekly of our lives? So here, Paul gives this admonition in Romans 12, verse 10, and he says, "Be devoted to one another in love." Two words we need to look at here this morning. The first is the word devoted, and then we're going to look at the word love. So, devoted. The Greek word that's been translated as devoted, philostorgos. Can I hear you say that? Philostorgos. All right, just making sure no one has already tuned me out because we're talking about church membership. So I see you're all paying close attention. Who needs a little more philostorgos in their life this morning? Who's not sure? Some of you are like, yeah, just sign me up for it, although I have no idea what it even is. Philostorgos, it's a combination of two Greek words. In Greek, they have multiple words for our one measly word, love. And all of these different words in Greek have different distinctions. These two words, philos and storgos, are two different words for love. And what Paul does, he takes these two words and he sort of smushes them together. Let's look at the first word, philos. It means the love shared between friends. You ever hear of bro love? You know, like you give that bro hug where you don't quite want to embrace the other, but you kind of like bump chest and a little pat on the back. Yeah, it's that love that's shared between friends. Or what about, have you ever dropped the phrase before? I love you like a brother. I love you like a sister. You're not really a brother, or you're not really siblings, but you love that person as if they're your brother. You love that person as if they're your sister. Maybe you might say it this way. They're brothers from other mothers, or sisters from other misters. You don't know what I'm talking about, right? You all have those friends in your life, do you not? That's what this word philos means. Then the second word, storgos, from storge, it means the love shared amongst family members. This is a natural love. This is a love that comes because you are connected by blood to someone else. Almost as if you have no choice, but you have to love that little brother, little sister. When we took Kit home from the hospital, Reese wasn't too sure what to think about having someone else in the house steal his attention. But he's kind of forced into storgos love here because she's connected by blood. She's his sister. And I think he's starting to get it a little bit 3 months into it, which is great. He's only thrown one book at her so far. What Paul's doing here, he's taking these two words for love and he's just mushing them, smushing them together. Now, this word philostorgos, it is used only here in the entire New Testament. It's not used anywhere else. I also don't believe that this word was a very common word in the world at this time. So for this entire week, I've been thinking and wondering and asking myself, why did Paul use this word here? It's not a common word. Doesn't show up anywhere else. Why would Paul use this word? What's the point of it? Because if it's used only one time in the Bible, well, there's a very specific reason why Paul is writing this word. If we go to the next slide. Here's what I've come to realize. Do you have friends in your life who they are so close that they've become like family? Maybe you have kids, or maybe when you were growing up, you had that aunt, or you had that person that you called aunt or uncle. They weren't really your aunt, but they're known as Aunt Susie or Uncle Jim. So they're not related through blood. It's not an actual family member, but they are so close, they're such good friends that they've earned the distinction to be called an aunt or an uncle. You all have friends like this. Maybe you go on vacations with them. Maybe you visit them for the weekend. You get meals together on a regular basis. They come over to your house. You go to their house. Your kids play together. They're people that you say, they're not my family, but they're really my family. I love them like they're a part of my family. I think that's what Paul is doing here when he takes these two terms for love, smushes them together, combines them. He's saying, hey, as a church family, this is how you're to act. The way in which you're to view each other who's a part of this community, who's a part of this church, is people who are friends, but they're more like family. And what Paul is saying is that they are then, So I forgot about ballet, soccer, CrossFit, Army, and Awaken. And some of you are like, dude, if he doesn't talk about that line, I'm gonna be left wondering the rest of the day, like, how does any of that relate, right? Some of you, who is thinking that? There's always like two or three people, probably like three on this side and one on this side. George, yeah. Well, that's because I told George on Friday night, we went go-kart racing, and I was telling him about this sermon on Friday night. And I said, hey, just because of you, I'm gonna talk about CrossFit. My wife used to dance for the New York City Ballet. She danced with them for many, many years. And what she'll often say about the ballet is that the people in the ballet became like her family because she spent so much time with them. They were in the studio practicing, rehearsing, dancing together. They shared the bulk of their lives together. To this day, some of her closest friends are friends that she danced with in the ballet. For me, I grew up playing soccer, and when I think about which of my friends I still talk with from high school, it's my soccer friends. You know, you graduate, and you're like, I'm never going to forget you, and you forget all but three of those friends. Well, the only three friends that I still talk with are people who I played soccer with. because I spent so much time with them. Our parents carpooled together. We did life together. We were friends who became like a family. You'll hear this from people who are in CrossFit. You get together, you have this strenuous workout. You're all doing the WOD together. See, I know the lingo. You're all doing the workout of the day, and you're friends, but you've become like a family because you're in this together. People who serve in the Army together, you'll often hear them talk about their former Army mates, the people that were in their group. They were like a family. We were together in this. For some of you at Awaken, I've heard your stories, and you'll say, hey, Awaken has become like a family. Maybe you're distant from your parents, and so there's some older people here in this group who have sort of taken you in, and they've become like your family now. This is what happens with any group, or I would argue, any good group that you're a part of. You spend so much time together, you share the details of your life with other people, that sure, you're not connected by blood, but your friendship runs deeper than the mere, hey, how's it going? There's some substance to it. And so when Paul is using this word, philostorgos, he's talking about friends who have become like a family. Friends who are there for each other. Now, what he says is that being part of a church community, they are then to devote themselves to each other with, and here's the second word I want to look at, the word love. Now, love is a word you're all familiar with here. That's the word Philadelphia. Us living on the eastern part of the United States, we know a little bit about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's what it means in Greek, brotherly love. And so what Paul is saying is you are to devote yourselves to each other in brotherly love. Now, for some of you, you think about a sibling, and it brings up all these really, really good feelings, like, oh, yeah, I love them. They are just such a great friend of mine. But for others, the idea of family makes you squirm a little bit. Yeah, I get it. Let's talk about William Penn then, shall we? William Penn formed the city of, going back to middle school history, Philadelphia. Who else wishes they had hair like that? Why did William Penn form or start Philadelphia? Because he had experienced religious persecution. So he moved to this area, to Philadelphia, to start this city of brotherly love because it was in response to something that he himself didn't have. And he wanted to form a city where everyone was loved. He wanted to form a city where everyone was welcomed. Why? Because he hadn't experienced that himself. And so he wanted to start that which he deeply longed for. That's what I think of when I think of Awaken. I think that's what Paul is saying. The church should be a place of brotherly love. See, for many of you, for some of you, maybe you don't have that place. Maybe family, I saw some of you when I said it makes you squirm. Some of you were nodding your head and you had that slight smile on your face. Some of you don't have that place where you can belong, the place where you're accepted, the place where you can receive love. And not just a love that is fleeting, but a love that is deep and genuine. See, when I think about Awaken, why did I start Awaken? It was because I wanted to create a place of brotherly, of sisterly love, where we could all come and we could all feel like we're a part of a family. That whatever is happening outside there during the rest of our weeks, well, at least we could come here because here's a sanctuary. And here's a safe haven. And we know that when we come here, we're going to be loved by all the others that are a part of this family, that are a part of this community. I mean, this is at the heart of what Paul's saying is the purpose of church. Friends who become like family and who show deep, genuine love for each other because it's what we all truly desire from life. It's what our friends want. And we want this to be a place where whenever we step in the door or if someone comes and visits us for 1 week, 2 weeks, that they would feel deeply loved by our family here at Awaken. Now, I ran across this quote about friendship by a poet and speaker, David White, and I think this has so much to say about what we're doing here at Awaken. The ultimate touchstone of friendship is not improvement, neither of the other nor of the self. The ultimate touchstone is witness, the privilege of having been seen by someone and the equal privilege of being granted the sight of the essence of another, to have walked with them and to have believed in them, and sometimes just to have accompanied them for however brief a span on a journey impossible to accomplish alone. Isn't that what we do here on a weekly basis? Notice, the ultimate touchstone of friendship, it's witness. It's witness. Having been seen by someone. Don't we all want to be seen? Maybe you remember the movie Avatar. What was the greeting that the Na'vi used to use? I see you. I see you. And it doesn't mean simply, oh, I see you, now I'm going to go on with the rest of my day. But it means, I see you as a person. I see you. I see that you are here. And I want to give you time. I want to be a listening ear. Too often in life, we don't have time to see other people. We're moving so quickly. Our schedules are so overcrowded. We have no margin, no white space in our calendars that we rarely have time to see other people. When we come here at Awaken, my prayer is that things would slow down a bit. Some of you talk about why we have such an extra long greeting time. I actually really don't know why we have such an extra long greeting time, but I kind of like it. And it gives us an opportunity to see each other and to share life and to give that bro hug or that sister hug. It gives an opportunity to catch up and say, hey, like I heard a story this morning that someone from our group was having not such a good week, and so they called a few other people, and they had a chance to pray with them over the phone. And so I'm sure that when they came here this morning, whether it was during the greeting time or maybe before, I'm sure they asked, well, hey, how'd the rest of the week go? I'm sure there was a hug. Hey, thank you so much. That helped me so much get through my week. That's what it means to see another person. That's what we all long for in life, to really be seen by someone else. And then to have walked with them, to carry each other's burdens. We all have a backpack we carry throughout life. Sometimes we have little pebbles in the backpack. Other times we have boulders. And we come walking through that door. That backpack is just putting so much torque on our lower back because those boulders are just so heavy. And we need other people who will walk with us and help us carry the weight of those boulders for a few steps. We come here to encourage, to have believed in them. What's the ultimate touchstone of friendship? To have believed in someone else. I almost did this, but then I knew Ben would get upset with me for having blown the budget so early in January. I almost got pom-poms for all of us. Because when I hear this, believed in them, I think of cheerleaders. And maybe we can form the triangle later on and... That's what it is, that we cheer each other on. Sometimes it's from the sidelines. Other times it's being right there in the middle of life with them. You can do this. Yeah, you had a hard week. It's all right. Just get right back in there. I'm there with you. I believe in you. I believe in your dreams. I believe in the things that your heart deeply longs for. That, man, when we talk about church, isn't that what we should be talking about on a weekly basis? That we believe in each other and we're there cheering them on, pom-poms and all. Maybe next week I'll get pom-poms. And then I love this, just to have accompanied them. Naturally, there's some people that you know more than others in this group. And there's a few people that maybe you have never spoken to before. But here's the thing. You come every Sunday, or maybe every other, and you sit in your seat, And it's so funny how we all have assigned seats already. The biggest thing that threw you all off was when we moved everything facing this way. You all walked in like, where am I going to sit? Where's my new seat going to be? Are the name tags still under the seat? I saw some of you looking under the cushions. But what's great about it is that even if you don't actually have a conversation with someone else or a few people, just looking across the room and seeing their face, all right, they're here again. They're here again. It kind of normalizes everything. Or maybe it's the person who sits in front of you each week or right behind you, and you can hear them singing every week. And it just does something to your soul where everything feels right. And you know that maybe you're not as close as you are with other people with them, but they're accompanying you on the journey. They're on the journey with you. And then here's the last part, which I love. However brief a span. However brief. Yeah, sometimes our journeys coincide for a couple of months. Sometimes it's for a few years. We don't know how long our journeys will intersect for. But however long we're walking the same journey together, it's all right. Because it's a journey that's impossible to accomplish alone. And what's the journey that we're on here? The name of this series is On the Way. What's the journey that we're on here at Awaken? It's becoming more Christ-like. It's learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this day and age. It's learning, well, what does it mean to surrender ourselves to God, to learn the path of Jesus? And we can't do that alone. It happens in community. It happens with each other. It happens by committing ourselves to a family and saying, I believe so much in this family, in this community, in this church, that I am going to commit my life to this family for a season. Now, I understand that's really hard to do in this world, in this culture that we live in. Commitment is something that I don't think many of us understand commitment. We have such a fear of FOMO, this fear of missing out. We like to hold things loosely so that we can easily jump ship if something better comes up. We don't like to commit, to fully throw both our feet into things because, ooh, well, if they go and do that, or if I hear about this, or if something is shinier than that, well, I want to be able to quickly reverse and turn around and go the other way and try that one out for a little bit. Or what about just the fact that our schedules are so overcrowded with so many things that we try to invest in so many different areas and be involved in so many different things that our lives actually lack depth? We have a very shallow existence because we just simply dip our big toe into experiences rather than cannonball it right into the deep end. So for us here at Awaken, the way that we do membership is we renew it on an annual basis. Because for me, the way I see membership is that it should be a commitment that we wholeheartedly throw ourselves into. And it should be something that is intentional. It should be something that we have to revisit on an annual basis. Think about all the different subscriptions you have. And you're flipping through your credit card bill, you realize that you just got charged for your annual subscription to National Geographic, and you're wondering, well, why do I still have this? I haven't read the magazine in over a year. See, whenever we put things on auto, it often leads to complacency, because we make a decision, and then we kind of throw it away, and we don't think about it anymore until we get that charge on our credit card bill, and we're wondering, why am I still paying for this? This is why for Awaken, the way I see membership is it should be annual because we should have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Is this where I need to commit myself for this season? So as we jump into a new year at Awaken, there's a couple of questions to ask when you consider, should I become a member of Awaken for the year 2020? First question, is this community helping me on my path of following Jesus? I think this question should be front and center. If we want to learn the path of Jesus, if we want to learn what does it mean to be a Christian in this world, well, shouldn't your spiritual community, your spiritual family, the church you go to, shouldn't it be helping you on that path? So is this church, is this family? And I think these are great questions, whether it's a church here or whether it's another church. Is this community helping me on my path of following Jesus? Is it helping me make progress on that journey? Then a second question, are these the people I want to walk with and commit myself to for this upcoming year? Remember, Philostorgos, family who becomes friends. Are these the people that I want to become like family in my life, to walk this journey that I can't walk alone? And then a third question, is this the community where God has led me to for this season of my life? I would ask, do you feel peace when you come on a Sunday? Do you feel peace when you walk in and you see each other and it's as if there's a peace deep in your soul? I'd suggest that that's where God is leading you. And then a fourth question, is this the place where I'm going to give of my time? Awaken runs solely on volunteer power. And I'll be brutally honest, our volunteer power is running on fumes right now. We need more volunteers at Awaken. We need more people to help carry the weight of this. I've tried to keep this as minimalistic as possible because I've heard horror stories of churches that rent vans and U-Hauls and wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to drag equipment in so they can have a service and then tear it down and they don't get home till 6 or 7 at night. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. I want your life to be full of vitality, and I think that drains your vitality when you're working 5 days a week and Sunday is simply dragging equipment in someplace. So I've tried to keep Awaken as minimalistic as possible. With that being said, there are still some things that have to happen in order to make this possible. We have our volunteer worship team. We have our sound set up. We have our hospitality to make sure that there is coffee and tea and that beautiful display set up on that back table. We have our greeters. So when you walk in the morning, that others would be seen. We're going to talk about this more next week at our annual meeting, but we have a need for our greeters, hospitality, sound setup. We get here about 9 o'clock in the morning. And for, how can I forget, for our kids as well. We want a thriving kids ministry. And so we need more volunteers to help Natasha in the back to teach our kids what does it mean to follow Jesus with their lives. So we typically get here about 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And if any of those interest you, would love to have a conversation to see how we can get you involved. My goal is that we would have each person involved once a month. Once a month, come early and help with however it looks like for you, help with the setup. So come see me. Again, we'll talk about it next week a little more at our annual meeting. And then a final question. Is this the place where I am going to give of my finances so this can continue to exist as a place where we can come together with others to experience the resurrected Christ? Same with the giving of our time. We rely solely on you to keep Awaken going financially as well. And on the back table, we actually have copies of our 2020 budget, which we will talk about in more detail next week. Please grab a copy of that budget. See what it takes to keep Awaken open. This is our place. This is our church, and it requires all of us. It requires all of us to do what we can in order to keep this community thriving and a place where others can experience the salvation of Christ. And if you're new here, maybe you've been coming out for a couple of weeks and you're thinking, whoa, membership, whoa, this is like my first week here. Wow, this guy's like going deep quick. Here's my advice to you. It's the advice that Jesus gave the disciples when they first started following him. Come and see. Come and see. Is this place experiencing the true power of the resurrected Christ? Is the resurrected Christ at the center of this community? And is it transforming lives? And is it beginning to transform your life? So come and see, witness, pay attention, see what's happening in this community. And when you're ready, we'll be here. We'll be here. So I have a couple of membership forms on that back table. And if membership is something for you for this year. I think there's some power in signing your name to something. It kind of takes it to another level. You know, when you speak something out loud or you write it on a piece of paper, it becomes even that much more real to you. So I would just encourage you, sign your name on one of those back sheets. You can fold it up, put it in the black box. And that's a little bit about membership for 2020. Let me pray here for us. God, I thank you for this message of Paul. God, this admonition he gives to the church at Rome, these house communities. God, these communities that have become like family. God, that these churches would be united together in love for each other. So I pray that Awaken would continue to be a community that is united in love. God, I pray that Awaken would be a community that feels like family. God, that this would be a sanctuary, a safe haven. God, a refuge for each of us. God, that this would be a place where we are accepted, where we're loved for who we are. God, that whenever we walk in, no matter what the week has been, God, that we would come here and we would truly feel the presence of Jesus. So I pray that we would continue walking that road together. I thank you for all the different people that are here. God, I thank you for how this community continues to grow together and for all the people that make this community possible. So I pray that we would keep taking steps to follow where it is that you are leading us together. Pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.